Please consider the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. when you consider your year-end giving. With 1 month left in 2015, we're approximately $93,000 short of expenses. You can make a secure online gift at issuesetc.org. You can also make a year-end tax-deductible donation by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. Send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for listening, and thanks for keeping us in mind at the end of the year.
Yesterday, a tragedy occurred in San Bernardino, and as I said in the immediate aftermath, our first order of business is to send our thoughts and prayers to the families of those who've been killed and to pray for a speedy recovery for those who were injured during this terrible attack.
That's President Obama speaking to reporters in the Oval Office earlier today, reiterating what he said yesterday in response to the San Bernardino shooting. Highest priority, he says, are thoughts and prayers sent to the victims. And yet there's been some response in the media to this phrase, thoughts and prayers, in particular to the prayer part of thoughts and prayers, outright mocking on the part of the New York Daily News and the Huffington Post joining in as well as other members of the media tweeting through social media and other means about prayers, some rather disparaging things to say. We're going to be talking about media mockery of prayer in the aftermath of the San Bernardino shooting. Molly Ziegler-Hemingway joins us. She's senior editor of The Federalist and author of a recent column called The Left Prays After San Bernardino Shooting to Its God of Government. Molly, welcome back to Issues Etc.
It's great to be here with you.
What exactly is some of this media reaction coming?
Well, it's to a lot of different things. Whenever a tragedy happens, whether it's terrorism or some type of natural tragedy, people respond by praying. Sometimes they request prayers. So victims of violence might put out in the media that they're requesting prayers. People on social media might just note that they're praying or publicly post their prayers. And politicians or elected officials might note that the victims are in their thoughts and prayers. So the media were responding to that very common response that people who pray have to moments of tragedy.
So what's the reaction been like?
But what was really interesting is, you know, this happens all the time. It happens whether there's a tsunami in Asia or a terror attack. But yesterday was the day that the media chose to just respond to this by freaking out over it. And so all across the media, you saw people mocking it. So I think Huffington Post got it going. They wrote, the headline was, "Another mass shooting, another deluge of tweeted prayers." And then the snarky subheadline was, "Seems to have been an ineffective strategy so far." And a senator from Connecticut mocked the idea of prayer. A Washington Post writer said, "Dear thoughts and prayers, people, please shut up and slink away. You are the problem, and everyone knows it." The thing that really struck me was the Daily News front page, the New York Daily News, which said, "God isn't fixing this." And it showed tweets from various politicians praying for the people who were victims in San Bernardino.
How does a headline, even in the New York Daily News, how does that make it past the editorial board?
Well, this is what was so interesting. Again, I've never really heard, outside of one rather well-known comedian, Anthony Jeselnik, whose current comedy special is actually called Thoughts and Prayers because he doesn't like this. He views it as posturing, meaningless, and whatnot. I've never heard people complain about people praying. And then yesterday it was everywhere, including the front page of the New York Daily News. And it just became this thing. I think a lot of liberal journalists kind of get into a group thinking type situation. People were really having fun mocking Christians and others who prayed, and they didn't realize how it would come off. So it just kind of spread like wildfire. And I assume they just don't have many believers in their newsrooms or people who say that is a horrible headline and a horrible idea, and you are going to hurt the very cause that you hope to help by putting it in there.
So explain, pretend for a moment that I am one of these kind of, agnostic, atheist, typical person sitting in the newsroom of the New York Daily News. Explain to me the adage, thoughts and prayers.
Well, one of the things that's interesting, I mean, for me personally, actually, one of the things I don't like about the phrase is that thoughts are, it's always coupled with prayers, and thoughts can seem kind of meaningless, and so combining it with prayer makes it seem meaningless. But I've had many people explain to me that thoughts, when they say thoughts and prayers, what they're talking about are thoughts of sympathy for the victims and prayers to God for mercy. And that is what they're referring to. Now, prayer is central to the Christian faith. It's actually a universal practice for all people, whether they're religious or not and whether they're Christian or not. But prayer is central to the Christian faith. Jesus spoke about it extensively, explaining that how we are to pray to our Father in heaven. There is a very famous prayer called the Our Father by Jesus that is the model of prayer for the Christian. And prayer is described throughout the entirety of scriptures, literally from the very beginning, Moses talking about Adam and Eve praying with God and, you know, Abraham's prayers all the way through the very end book of Revelation, where St. John has this vision of the consummation of all the prayers of saints in the restored heavens and earth. So, I mean, it is throughout, it is one of the most central things about scripture is the perpetual prayer of the believer. And this includes Jesus Christ himself in the Garden of Gethsemane on the eve of his crucifixion. He's described as being in agony. He prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. When people are mocking prayer and the practice of prayer, or the practice of like an immediate immediately going to prayer, this is a direct mockery of one of the central tenets of our faith.
Is it all religious people, or is the subtext here mostly Christians? I can't imagine they'd be tweeting about a Muslim call to prayer.
I mean, I think mostly it's Christian, but that's mostly because this is mostly a Christian country. It's really noteworthy that the same media that would never dare critique Muslim piety has no compunction about doing it with others.
Molly Ziegler-Hemingway is our guest. We're talking about the media mockery of prayer in the aftermath of the San Bernardino shooting. We'll have more with her on the other side of the break. She's senior editor of The Federalist and author of a recent column, The Left Prays After San Bernardino Shooting to Its God of Government. We'll find out what that means on the other side of the break. Later in Hour 2 of Issues, Etc., Bill McKeever, founder of Mormonism Research Ministry, based in Draper, Utah, will join us. We'll talk about a newly published journal from Joseph Smith's final year and days. And then we'll be doing Christ in the Old Testament, our weekly series in Psalm 66 with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer.
Your comprehensive source for information, teaching, and truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Standing firm in a hostile world is the theme of the San Antonio Biblical Worldview Conference, February 5th and 6th. This confessional Lutheran conference features Issues Etc. guest Adam Francisco, David J. Weber, Joe Abrahamson, attorney Mark Stern, and Professor Alan Quist. If you are in Texas or would like some warmer weather in February, check out the San Antonio Biblical Worldview Conference, February 5th and 6th at faithlutheransa.org. faithlutheransa.org.
The grace of God, the church's music, the Lord's Supper every service every Sunday, preaching Christ crucified and risen, our hope for years to come. There is hope in St. Louis. Hope Lutheran Church, that is. 5218 Neosho Street, St. Louis, Missouri. Find us on the web at hopelutheranstl.org.
The Substitute Organist Service, aptly abbreviated SOS, really has come to our rescue.
Pastor Jim Hollowatch of Christ Lutheran Church in Jackson, Mississippi.
With the ever-growing shortage of skilled musicians in our community, we were approaching a real crisis. But thanks to the Substitute Organist Service, help is always just minutes away. With its easy, intuitive interface, friendly customer service, and outstanding musicianship, you really couldn't ask for more.
You can find out more about the Substitute Organist Service at churchmusicsolutions.com. Well, Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Molly Ziegler-Hemingway of The Federalist is our guest. We're talking about media mockery of prayer in the aftermath of the San Bernardino shooting. Molly, there seems to be kind of three levels of this mockery. It is kind of starts with just kind of this is useless rhetoric to call for prayer. Then it goes to something along the lines of it's counterproductive. And then, as you mentioned before, in the case of, say, the New York Daily News or the Huffington Post, it verges on calling prayer and calls for prayer after these tragic events as almost making the problem worse. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think it's the best way to understand it when you see reporters, journalists, and other progressives mocking this is that they themselves are engaged in a religious ritual and they don't even realize it. So you've heard of theodicy, which is this where we discuss why do bad things happen in the world. And there are various schools of thought. This is something Christians have pondered over for thousands of years. Why do bad things happen? How is God good when bad things happen? You know, this is major, you can read many books on this topic. Well, people who aren't religious also go through this type of wrangling. But for them, their God is government. Their God is a very powerful federal government. So when bad things happen, they think that the explanation for why bad things happen is because we weren't sufficiently loyal or sacrificial or didn't have enough offerings to, you know, a big government that could have taken care of this problem. And so when they say, oh, well, you know, we must do something, that is this sort of deep uttering of prayer for them, their prayer to government, which they see as sort of the solution for the problem of evil in the world. And, you know, in the same way that a primitive religious group might have a god that handles tsunamis, so when a tsunami happens, they pray to him. A lot of our journalists have this very sort of fundamentalist religious view in favor of government. One of the key doctrines is gun control, and so they just sort of immediately reflexively go to those utterances about doing something. They almost have a prescribed liturgy of it. You know, they talk about how they're willing to do something, but they're not like those other people who aren't willing to do something. And they have this very key doctrine for them, which is gun control. And it's, you know, if you disagree with it, you're a heretic. And so it's a very religious thing they're going through. So even though they're mocking, you know, people who are overtly religious, they themselves are actually displaying quite a bit of religiosity themselves.
So in essence, this is a confrontation of not just worldviews, but of religious beliefs.
Absolutely. And I think you can look at when it can be very disconcerting to read that New York Post headline. I actually thought I rarely talk about being offended or find things blasphemous. I thought that was actually blasphemous, and it alarmed me, I will say. You can look at it and you can be angry at this disparaging, this disdain that our media have for people who are Christian. But you can also realize that this is just a competing religion and that journalists don't like it when prayers are offered to a God that is different than their God. Their God is big government. They are very devoted followers of him. They they don't like people who are unorthodox in their approach to this God. And so it's just better to understand it as they have a competing religion, and they are very, very devout in that religion.
In the case of the San Bernardino shooting, is there also the element of simple assumptions on the part of the media that have taken part in this mocking that Christians in their prayers, they view that as kind of an ironic thing, since I think, as you note, it's kind of assumed that all Christians are gun nuts.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I just feel like they don't really understand. In fact, there are Christians who have all sorts of different views on even something like gun control or guns or the ethics of defending yourself or the ethics of stopping people who are violent by using force and whatnot. But our media don't really understand that, I would say. They don't understand the variety of views that are in place. I will note that people who were progressive, who are Christians, were sounding the alarm about what happened on social media in the aftermath of the shooting. they were pointing out, and it took a much more courage for them to point out to their colleagues that they themselves pray at times of violence or tragedy, and that they even share their politics, but they are first and foremost their prayers. They pray to God.
Molly, what's changed? I mean, we can both remember with great clarity 9/11. And after that terrorist attack and really kind of the national tragedy that it was, I don't think there would have been a single reporter who would have mocked prayer after something like this for the victims and the victim's family. And we are 14 years away from that. And now it's pretty commonplace.
Yes, it is interesting. And I want to say that also that I thought it was very good that President Obama, the very first or second thing he said when he spoke on the day after the shooting was that his thoughts and prayers were with the victims. And so it's not like it's a completely lost cause in America that that you're not allowed to pray or publicly note that you're praying. But yeah, things are very bad. I think it's a lot of it is that our elites are very secular. They have always been more secular than the general population, but they are becoming even more cloistered, even more remote. And then, of course, the general population is also carrying this trend towards secularism. And I think also what you're seeing is just a general frustration among progressives. I think they have this idea. They talk about being on the right side of history, and so they believe that there is just this natural arc to things, and that and they're very frustrated. They're seeing that not everybody has agreed with them, and so that frustration is just coming out more and more. And since the frustration is rooted in this fundamental difference in how you view humanity, is the human condition fallen? Are humans prone toward evil? Does government need to be limited because government will be run by humans? Or do you believe in the perfectibility of man through government, that progressivism, can allow us to become better creatures? And so the only problem are these people who are preventing the government from reaching the size and scope and power that is necessary to perfect man. These are very fundamental differences, and I don't think our colleges or other educational systems are doing a really good job of even explaining that these are fundamental differences, or how progressivism is at odds with more traditional founding principles of the country and whatnot. And so we're seeing this sort of divorce in perspectives, and that's why their things are much less civil than they have been in the past. And it's reaching some pretty scary levels of rhetoric.
Well, one other thing on the rhetoric there, and that is, and we talked about this a little bit before, Molly, it's one thing for a reporter to tweet something. That's, that may be within their, they may be reporting something, they may just be expressing an opinion. Who knows? But for it to make it to headlines like Huffington Post, New York Daily News, is of a different caliber journalistically. That's in print. That's just not online, someone's private Twitter account. What are your thoughts there?
Well, one thing that I thought was actually interesting was how poorly this went for the New York Daily News. I think that New York tabloids tend to really focus on selling papers day to day, or really creating a news story. The New York Post's headline today was something like Muslim murderers, which was also designed to provoke outrage. And by being nonspecific, or, trying to paint this on all Muslims and whatnot. So, but what I thought was interesting is that the news editor of the Daily News put out a statement basically proclaiming that their statement that God is not fixing this was in no way, shape, or form condemning prayer or religion. And anyone who suggested otherwise was intentionally or unintentionally misconstruing the point, and that their point was simply that prayer is a meaningless platitude and that this is empty rhetoric. So they kind of contradicted themselves within their own statement. But what I thought was interesting about that statement was that the editor was acknowledging that this had completely blown up in their faces, that people were appalled and deeply offended by that front page headline. So even if there are no believers working in the New York Daily News who could notify them of the error of that that front page, they certainly have heard from them by now.
Molly Ziegler Hemingway is senior editor for The Federalist and author of a recent column called The Left Prays After San Bernardino Shooting to Its God of Government. You can read it and her columns at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Molly, thank you very much.
Thank you.
When we come back, Bill McKeever, founder of Mormonism Research Ministry, will join us. We're going to talk about the newly published final account, Journal from Joseph Smith, the founder of Mormonism, in his final year. Stay tuned.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran learning. issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
Holy Cross Evangelical Lutheran Church, Albany, Oregon, is a mid Willamette Valley LCMS congregation where the liturgy lives and God's people worship as one, with sound biblical doctrine, weekly communion, and a clear confession of Christ crucified for the sin of the world. Please join us at 2515 Queen Avenue Southeast or visit our website at www.HolyCrossLutheranAlbany.org.
Daily exercise for the Christian mind. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Do you have a student finishing up eighth grade at a Lutheran school? Do you wish there were a Lutheran high school close to where you live so your student could continue going to a Lutheran school? What if there was an opportunity for high school students in public or Lutheran school to take classes like Latin, logic, and hard-hitting theology courses? Well, there is. It's called Wittenberg Academy, the first completely online classical Lutheran high school. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.
Please consider the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. when you consider your year-end giving. With 1 month left in 2015, we're approximately $93,000 short of expenses. You can make a secure online gift at issuesetc.org. You can also make a year-end tax-deductible donation by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. Send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for listening, and thanks for keeping us in mind at the end of the year.